Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. Nigel Farage on the takeover of the West. Marjorie Taylor Greene on her effort to censure Rashida Tlaib. And then we talk about someone who has dropped out of the presidential race. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. What you import into your nation becomes. Now, if you bring people into your country and your culture is very strong, then people hopefully will assimilate. Not everyone. Somalians don't assimilate very well. Muslims don't assimilate very well. You should bring people into your nation that help your nation. It's also harder to assimilate people today. Social media, sectarianism. You don't have to assimilate as much. It used to be a necessary prerequisite. You can now call home. You can fly home rather easily. Back when we did immigration logistically, 100, 200 years ago, there was no choice. You come from Ireland or from Poland, South America. You come here and you learn the language. You assimilate to be part of America, the nation America, the country. Liberals tell them actively that you shouldn't assimilate. We are no longer a country. Think about it. What is a country? In the words of Michael Savage, a country is borders, language, culture. He came up with that when I first started listening to talk radio years ago. So we don't have a border. We have different languages, and we don't have a unified culture. Now, I'm not saying this to blackpill you and depress you. I'm giving an honest analysis that you're living in something called a country, but it feels less and less like a country every single day. It's more like a colony, a place where you do business, you don't share anything in common. It would be similar to a port in the 1500s or 1600s, where you come in and you do business, and there's people from all over the world, and there might be some common law to buy and sell things, kind of like a market. And then you go on your way. Venice is a perfect example of this. Venice, where Venice was kind of the meeting point of the East and the West. And you pull in, you do your business. Those that live there don't really have a Venetian identity. And it's very open to anyone who wants to come and go. And so be it. Very little nationalism or patriotism. So this is nothing new. And we've turned our country into a massive open-air colony. In fact, the West is really going about this. Think about it. What are the ultimate values of America? What do the conservatives want or the Republicans want it to be? All about trading and money. No different than Venice. Come and buy and sell your products. Come be a merchant. That's fine. Because those are allegedly, anybody can engage in that. When in reality, America is more than just our free enterprise system. Our free enterprise system is one of several things that have made us great, but not the only thing. It's our history. It's our values, delayed gratification. It's our Christian heritage. It's the biblical values as articulated in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's our adherence to eternal principles. America has become so cocky. We think our values are universal when in reality they're not. Our country is the combination of the character of our people, common law, our founding principles. There are many people who are happy to benefit from the riches these values create without adopting them, and that is exactly what we are doing. You can come in, make as much money as possible, but still speak Farsi, send your money back home, and not adopt an American ethos or ethic. They move here for our jobs, for our welfare programs, but they can't sustain them. That is why more people speak Spanish than English in California. No longer have a language. What is the culture? If you were to pull somebody aside in San Francisco, in Dallas, in Miami, Philadelphia, New York, and Chicago, and said, what does being an American mean? You'd have six different answers, and the answers would probably skew, well, America means that we are diverse or that we are tolerant. California used to be a middle-class paradise in the 1960s. Now it is middle-class hell. Nearly 68 million people spoke a language other than English at home in 2019. It's only gotten worse. The number of people in the United States who spoke a language other than English at home nearly tripled from 1 in 10 to 1 in 5. California is now a land like Brazil, a land of the ultra-rich and the poor, which comes down to a fundamental question. I didn't come up with this, but I think I've popularized this more than almost anybody else. Are you a country that has an economy in it or an economy that happens to be in a country? The Republican Party the last 30 years prioritized the economy over the country. Of course, there are some benefits to mass migration if all you care about is profits, but then you cease to be a country. You get overrun with homeless, criminals, rapists, murderers, people that leech off of the system. They believe borders are inherently racist. Why can't we just allow everybody into the country? And then you don't have a country. When you prioritize the economy over the country, you eventually become the economy, not a country. You become a modern day Venice. Where yes, of course, you can buy and sell goods, but you have nothing in common with the person next to you. Nothing. And that's the idea of the Great Reset. That the bonds that tie us together, the case for nationalism, the case for sovereign nations, they want to destroy that. Globalism is the forced, coerced project of eliminating borders, language, and culture, because they think those things are xenophobic. George Soros doesn't just believe this as an abstraction. Go read Soros's writings 20 years ago, 30 years ago. He firmly believes that the evil in the world is because that we have borders, because we have walls, because we have separate languages. It is an attempt to recreate the city of Babel as articulated in Genesis 11. Nimrod, who wanted to make a city upon himself, centralized all authority. Nations, as we know it, is actually a biblical idea. The idea of creating a one world is nothing new. They tried it with the League of Nations. Alexander the Great tried it. The Roman Empire tried it. Persia tried it. The Chinese Empire tried it. The British Empire tried it. The idea that you want to have the expanse of the whole planet under your jurisdiction is nothing new. What is new, and what has never really been successfully done, is can you be a superpower and simultaneously resist the temptation to invade every corner of the world, to colonize every corner of the world, and let in people from every corner of the world? Because they're tied together. If you end up waging war on every corner of the planet to create a pseudo-colonization effort, you end up then letting those people in to your nation. And again, we used to have such a strong culture that when you came from Germany, you came from Italy, you came from Ireland, that you did assimilate. We weren't here to talk about the egalitarian acceptance of all different values. We weren't here to say that all cultures are the same. Like, no, you come to our party, you speak our language. And over the weekend, we saw tens of thousands of people protest against Israel, obviously most of them Muslims, taking over the streets of London in front of some of the most incredible imagery. Muslims that have, they didn't build London, but Muslims are conquering London. Many Jews have messaged me saying this is the worst anti-Semitism in my lifetime. If you are a Jew in the West, I fear for you. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to protect you in any way possible, because you guys are being targeted for assassination by Muslims every day. It's happening at Cornell. It's happening at Cooper Union. It's happening on the streets. But we must also be very honest that many of the values, the worldview that have been embraced by some Christians, by some secular Jews, created this set of circumstances. And it is tragic. It's too late to undo it. You already have them in your nation. It's not too late to stop it so it doesn't get worse. But look at that imagery. Does that look like London or Tehran? London or Beirut? London or Istanbul? London or Riyadh? London or Cairo? What you allow into your nation is what you become. And Europe, because they have such a big heart, allowed millions and tens of millions of Muslims, and they're wondering why their culture ceased to exist. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Nigel Farage joins us. Nigel, thank you for taking the time. Nigel, your reaction to these widespread Hamas sympathizing demonstrations in the streets of London this last weekend?
Completely and utterly horrified. And I mean genuinely, truly horrified of what is happening in our capital city. But you know something? It's also been happening in Birmingham. It's been happening in Manchester. It's been happening up in Scotland, in Edinburgh. This is not just confined to London. And, you know, we were told 25 years ago by Mr. Blair, when he was our prime minister, that we must become a more diverse nation. We must get a lot more people come into Britain from all over the world. Well, diversity and open door immigration policy is fine, provided that people have a collective sense of what it is to live in the United Kingdom. And what we've seen is the thing that I feared from the very start, that people would come to the country, not integrate, bring their own politics, their own religious practices with them. And effectively what you now have is a group of people within our country insistent that their politics, what they believe in, their extremism, which I'm afraid is there in some parts of the Muslim community, and that they actually now believe that we should bow down to them, that their orthodoxy should become the predominant one in our nation. It is horrifying, it is worrying, it is scary. But of course, Charlie, I'm not Jewish. If I was Jewish, I think I'd be reduced to tears.
Yeah, that, I mean, there's a very robust and significant Jewish population, especially in North London. I can't imagine what they think right now. And just couple this, Nigel, for our audience. There has been not so quiet anti-Semitism and Jew hatred in the Labour Party for years. Jeremy Corbyn and many others. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn was very much of that point of view. And somehow the left, right across the world, the Western world, the left seemed to think that Palestine's wonderful and Israel's evil. To be fair to Sir Keir Starmer, the current Labour leader, you know, he's booted Corbyn out of the Labour Party. He said that anti-Semitism has no place in it. But he's got some quite big splits emerging on his own front bench. People saying, well, hang on a second, Israel must call a ceasefire immediately. I tell you what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to see an Islamic-style political party in Britain before very long. That will cause long-term, quite significant damage, actually, to the Labour Party and the left. But I can see it coming. I can see sectarian, racially motivated politics becoming, it won't be huge to begin with, because of the size of the population, but I can see this coming. And the lesson, because don't think this is just happening here. It's happening in Brussels. It's happening in Paris. The scenes in Berlin are almost difficult to comprehend. Never again is what was said after 1945. Well, that's how it all be, sadly, from a significant number of people in Berlin, that's all been forgotten. And the warning to America is so loud. It is so clear that anybody in America that doesn't see this and wake up to it, frankly, has to be stupid. And yet, can you tell me who's crossing your border every day?
No.
Can you tell me where they come from? Can you tell me what ideology they might bring with them? So, you know, I would say to Americans looking across the pond with horror, don't be complacent, because it might come to you sooner than you think.
In closing here, Nigel, do you feel as if you're living in a conquered country?
I wouldn't say it's conquered yet, but I am fearful that we now allow a very large group of people to openly break our discrimination laws, to vandalize statues of Winston Churchill, of our former kings and queens, to shout racial incitement, and yet nothing gets done for them at all. If I went out with a microphone this evening and said some unpleasant things about their community, I would be in prison. And with the double standards, with the failure to uphold that the rule of law should be the same for everybody, unless we act, then one day in the future, we might become a conquered country.
I got to be honest, Nigel, this is the most maddening and irritating part of my job, watching the West kill itself.
I totally agree.
All because of, I mean, right, Nigel, I know you've been a hero with Brexit and with everything, and watching this beautiful civilization, it's all 100% avoidable on values that were never actually our own, tolerance and diversity. We have put those as the pinnacle values of the West. Entirely short-term thinking, cheap labor, avoiding emotional pain, not wanting to be called bad names, and what we love, what our parents and grandparents built and died for, is now being destroyed.
Yeah, I agree with every word you just said. I feel it myself passionately. But remember, this is not just the fault of the left pushing this agenda. This is the fault of conservatives being too cowardly. I took the conservatives on all sides of the pond are just as much to blame.
I totally agree. Nigel, God bless you. Thank you so much. Public Square is one of my favorite apps. There are progressive corporations out there that are just doing terrible things. And Public Square is out there leading the charge against all this garbage that we see from Target, for example, Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion, and financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with Public Square. We now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Public Square is free to join. You can get started today. If you're a business owner, join. If you're a consumer, join. Check it out. Download the Public Square app today. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a beautiful job. Good friend of mine. 100% behind him. Check it out today. Joining us now is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Thank you so much, Marjorie, for taking the time. Tell us about your effort to censure or to kick Rashida Tlaib off of committees.
Well, I introduced the censure resolution last week, Charlie, and it will be brought to the floor for a vote this Wednesday at around approximately 6:30 p.m., but here's why it's so important for me to talk to you today. We need some more courage in Congress. And some of my Republican colleagues feel like they may not have the stomach to censure anti-Israel, anti-America, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist Rashida Tlaib. They feel like they don't want to watch her in the well, wearing her Palestinian scarf around her, crying as she is censured by Congress. But in fact, that is absolutely what we must do. We cannot tolerate a hate America, hate Israel member of Congress. They should never exist. No one should be elected to serve in our United States Congress that speaks the vile things that Rashida Tlaib says, that supports terrorism and supports the groups and is aligned with the groups that she is aligned with. So the censure resolution must pass. And I need your listeners, I need your viewers to call all my Republican colleagues and tell them to vote to censure Rashida Tlaib.
So just remind our audience specifically, what has she said that is worthy of a censure?
Well, what she did is she gave a speech on the day that she launched an insurrection. She gave a speech lying, saying that it was Israel's fault. Israel bombed a hospital in Gaza, when in fact, our own news agencies, our own intelligence were reporting that it was Hamas himself that bombed the hospital. So she lied. She aligned herself with these groups, radical groups, Jewish Voices for Peace. They are not for peace. That sounds like a lovely name. But the ADL, in fact, calls them an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel hate group. And if you were labeled that way by the ADL, then we know that you are a serious extreme leftist communist organization, and in fact, a real hate group. This group, Jewish Voices for Peace, is aligned with terrorists. They support terrorists and fund terrorism. Another group that was involved in the insurrection on the Capitol complex, where almost 1,000 people marched in the streets there and hundreds went into the Cannon building, taking over our building. Another group was called Global Intifada. Intifada means Arab uprising, Arab rebellion, or jihad. And this is the group that Rashida Tlaib was with when she gave the speech that same day, right before the group marched on the Capitol complex and came into our building, taking over, refusing to leave. And so this is extremely radical. This is terrifying. Charlie, I want to remind you, this happened on the same day Hezbollah declared a day of immense anger. They wanted a worldwide day of immense anger. They were calling for terrorism. They were calling for protests, calling for violence all over the world on a day of immense anger. And Rashida Tlaib organized with that group, and they did. They did protest, and they did an insurrection into our Capitol complex, stopping Congress and stopping the Senate. So this is just a fraction. She also has an extreme record of anti-Semitic language, but speaking out against Israel. She supports BDS. Rashida Tlaib is a radical, and she does not support or stand for anything that we stand for here in America.
So let me ask you, do you anticipate every Republican colleague voting for this? And if not, why?
Charlie, I did anticipate every single Republican colleague of mine, and even Democrats, because I've talked to several of them that want to vote to censure Rashida Tlaib as well. But I want to let you know, I was shocked last night on our GOP conference call when several Republican members of Congress spoke up and said they did not want to vote to censure Rashida Tlaib. That was Wahlberg, Rep. Wahlberg from Michigan, Rep. Duarte from California, and Rep. Young Kim from California. And she even went so far to say, Young Kim said that she didn't want to have to vote on political positions. Yet Young Kim, I'd like to remind everyone, voted to kick me off of committees, but somehow she feels uncomfortable voting to censure Democrat, anti-Israel, pro-Hamas Rashida Tlaib. So it seems like Republican Young Kim would rather stand with Rashida Tlaib than stand with me, because she kicked me off committees but doesn't want to censure Rashida Tlaib. So that's why I'm talking to you about this today, Charlie, is my Republican colleagues need to understand that this is supported widely all over the country, censuring Rashida Tlaib. People would love to see it go much further. They'd like to see her kicked off committees. They would like to see her expelled from Congress. But look at the real situation where we are, where I have Republican colleagues of mine that don't have the stomach or the courage to even vote yes on a censure resolution against Rashida Tlaib.
So the question in front of the Congress right now with the new speaker, Speaker Johnson, is Israel funding, Ukraine funding, and also border funding. Do you anticipate the Israel funding getting its standalone vote? Shouldn't we also pair the border funding with the Israel funding? What is your stance on this, Marjorie Taylor Greene?
My stance is that America's border comes first and foremost, because I serve in the United States Congress. Our border should be the priority, and our border should be the border that we are most concerned about. We've had over 10 million people cross our border since Joe Biden became president, and there's over 1.5 million gotaways. Those include terrorists, criminals, rapists, people that have gotten out of insane asylums and left prisons. These are some of the worst people in the world, and they are loose in our country. We have no idea where they are, who they are, and what they're going to do. So the only vote I would like to take this week for funding any protection and security for a border would be for our own border for the United States of America. That's where I stand. But last night on the GOP conference call, our new speaker, Mike Johnson, said that he will be bringing to the floor a standalone bill funding for Israel at $14.5 billion. Charlie, I have to let you and everyone that watches your show know that we have already passed $3.8 billion for Israel for weapons, for protection, and also for their Iron Dome. That money sits in our defense and our state and foreign ops bills over in the Senate. And Chuck Schumer and the Democrats in the Senate haven't even looked at those bills. And Joe Biden hasn't signed them into law. So there's $3.8 billion already ready to go for Israel if the Senate would do its job and Joe Biden would sign it into law. But let me go a step further. Israel is an independent nation. They are a nuclear armed nation, and Israel prides themselves on defending their own country and defending their own people. They have not asked the United States of America for troops on the ground or anything of the like. And so I would like to see our Congress support our southern border. We are over $33 trillion in debt, and the American people don't feel like writing checks nonstop to other countries to defend their borders. Now, while I'll say this, I do stand with Israel and I support them in their war, and I support their efforts in defending their people from these terrorists and evil people, Hamas, and what they've done to their innocent Israeli citizens. But I will not be voting to send billions and billions of dollars to yet another country when we have done nothing for our own border. And I've been an absolute no from the beginning on Ukraine. I voted to send $0 to Ukraine. Our only position should be bringing peace to that country and ending the proxy war with Russia. So if there is a funding bill for Ukraine coming to the floor, I'll be voting no on that as well.
Marjorie, let me also ask you about this continuing resolution. Speaker Johnson said that he might punt to January, basically, you know, letting the Senate off the hook. Do you support holding the line, getting different spending bills put forward? Where do you stand on the continuing resolution debate?
Where I stand is doing our job, Charlie. I voted no on both continuing resolutions that were brought to the floor in the past month or so. I have no problem if the government has to shut down. That doesn't bother me one single bit because it doesn't bother the American people. And everything runs smoothly on time every single day, whether the government is funded or not. And it's such a lie that's told to the American people that when the government shuts down, that everything falls apart, because that's not true. Social Security checks keep coming. Medicare checks keep coming. Many important things continue to be funded. What we have to do is we have to break the cycle in Washington, D.C., and we have to be able to get our work done. And Charlie, Congress operates on a calendar of failure, and it happens every single year, no matter which party is in charge, where we go home during August recess and half of September, but yet somehow are supposed to fund our government and finish with all of the budget and all the appropriation bills by September 30th. It's absolutely ridiculous. You can't finish anything. You can't finish any job if you're not willing to show up for work every day leading up to the deadline. And so I've brought this up over and over in my conference and talked about it openly to the press, and no one has responded to me yet. No one is willing to change the calendar. So until Congress is ready to solve the real problems that lead us into this never-ending government shutdowns and omnibuses and continuing resolutions, kicking the can down the road, I don't care to play the game in Washington and vote for more continuing resolutions. I have no problem voting no to them. I think we should be focused on passing our 12 separate appropriation bills and finishing the budget. We're over 70% passed. We just need to focus on the ball and get our job done.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So there's one less candidate in the presidential race. Play cut six.
I just couldn't sit this one out. But the Bible tells us that there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And traveling across the country over the past 6 months, I came here to say it's become clear to me this is not my time. So after much prayer and deliberation, I have decided to suspend my campaign for president effective today.
Okay, I've said this before and I'll say it again. When he was vice president, we had a really great relationship. He had me on Air Force Two a couple times, spoke at our events. I got along with him really well. Never really had a sharp word. We had the kind of a heated Twitter moment over the summer. But I've received a lot of hate mail from you guys for even saying a nice word about Mike Pence. I've always found him to be honest with me. I think he mishandled a lot, especially in the lead up to the vote counting on January 6th. He just hoped it would go away and he should have leaned in, been a leader with it. He said it wasn't my time. Now, look, I'm going to put the personal thing aside. Honestly, I admire him dropping out instead of extending this thing. If you endorse Donald Trump, Mike Pence, there might be some political future for you. If you come out and say endorse Trump and be like, hey, we've had our differences. I got really heated and still am when Mike Pence did some radio interview and was like, well, my former running mate. Oof. I mean, the former president of the United States who chose you as a running mate. I didn't like that. I didn't like when he went on the Buck Show and whatever it's called and said that it wasn't, you got to trust our Department of Justice or trust our justice system. But what this is that Mike Pence had a choice. And I'm going to put the personal thing aside because Mike was always good to me and I'm sure we'll figure that out. And by the way, I don't like this new fake preacher thing he's doing. I don't like it. I don't know where this has come from. He didn't talk like that 3 or 4 years ago. This like 1980s televangelist thing, I don't like it at all. And we all know that Pence is nationally famous because Trump elevated him. He was a good and dutiful vice president, and it kind of just fell apart towards the end. It fell apart, and I think Pence made some big mistakes. And then he then kind of leaned into the breaking of Trump. He did that interview with Martha McCallum of him in front of the John Deere in Iowa. It was just so cringy. It was like, yo, you are not reading the room at all. But let Mike Pence put all that aside, okay? What should give you some hope, which should give you a good shot in the arm, is that Mike Pence decided to philosophically go towards a neoliberal way of running for the presidency. Unapologetically about Ukraine. Talking about the swan song of populism. Remember that? It's like, oh, we must resist the siren song of populism, not swan song. And it failed miserably. So put all the personal stuff aside. Is Mike Pence trying to take his campaign on an ideological detour away from the MAGA America First base? And voters wanted nothing to do with it. That's awesome. That's a great sign. Mike Pence was running on, in his own words, a restoration of the Reagan era. Of low taxes, open borders, amnesty for all, de-emphasizing some of the cultural issues. Not talking about the weaponization of the administrative state. And Mike Pence failed. Play cut seven.
Now, I'm leaving this campaign, but let me promise you, I will never leave the fight for conservative values, and I will never stop fighting to elect principled Republican leaders to every office in the land. So help me God.
All right, he's not running anymore, so I'm going to just leave that there. But ideologically, there's no place for him right now in the Republican Party. Where is the home for invade the world, invite the world? Dead. Where's the home for big government Republicanism? Dead. He's basically a relic. In some ways, it's sad to see. In some ways, it's actually really hopeful. He's playing a sport that has basically been retired, where you can kind of go up and do the fake preacher thing and talk about defending America abroad. And he had that cringy line with Vivek. The problem is not the government is too bad. We have great people. It's just like, hold on a second. Honestly, this is for the better. That we have nationalist, America first, populist, conservative ideas that have taken over the Republican Party, and globalist type conservatism has no place. That's a good sign. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.